And 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. That big packet of documents you get when you purchase a new car? A lot of dealerships have had to generate those documents by hand after a ransomware attack on a major software provider.
In a statement, CDK saying it promptly launched an investigation, adding, "We have begun the restoration process. It will take several days to complete."
It's unclear at this point what, if any, consumer information has been compromised. Bloomberg is reporting the hackers are demanding tens of millions of dollars in ransom to restore operations, and that CDK intends to pay it, though discussions are subject to change.
ABC's Allison Kosick. South of Seoul, South Korea, fire in a lithium battery factory. Officials say they recovered the bodies of 8 people. 23 others are unaccounted for. Today is 2 years since the Supreme Court did away with a woman's right to choose. There will be dozens of events nationwide to mark the ruling. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pere Marquette Park is out as the protest area for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next month. Instead, there are 2 demonstration areas, one near Pfizer Forum and another near the Baird Center. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle.
I'd like to reassure everyone that the Secret Service and our public safety partners respect every American's First Amendment right to express themselves. The Milwaukee PD and other law enforcement partners are well equipped to manage protests and ensure gatherings remain safe for all individuals involved.
Republicans didn't want the protest zone so close to Pfizer Forum. The Department of Natural Resources is offering $100,000 in grants to rural Wisconsin counties that help recycle unwanted electronics. The funds would go towards building permanent electronics collection sites or hosting collection events. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers are back home.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens. The Brewers host the Texas Rangers tonight. The crew back from their West Coast trip. 7 games in 7 days. Losing 4, but winning 3, including a 6-2 victory yesterday over the Padres. Center fielder Blake Perkins on beating the Padres pitcher, Michael King.
We remember last time we faced him, he shut us down pretty well. So I think he was having some trouble locating his front door sinker a bit, so they gave us some opportunities on the outer half of the plate.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
We might not be very good, but we've got a great team. You know, like team chemistry, those guys, they really pull for each other.
Football last week, David Bakhtiari had this to say about Packers quarterback Jordan Love and his girlfriend, volleyball player Ronica Stone.
He is quiet yet confident and soft-spoken yet caring. I got a chance to get, you know, somewhat close to him. His girlfriend, who I hope that he can speed it up and, you know, make it his fiance pretty soon.
Over the weekend, Love and Stone got engaged while on a trip to Italy with sports on Mike Clemens.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll have highs in the low 80s. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tonight. Some of those storms could be severe. We'll see a low around 70 degrees. Winds out of the southwest up to 25. Mostly sunny and 84 on your Tuesday.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
It is day 16 and week 4 of Joe Biden's Top 100. Our theme this week, healthcare. You're not going to want to miss a single episode.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Title of that song, Right Place, Wrong Time. And I think that must be the way some people feel this morning as they clean up after tornado activities in South Central Wisconsin. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and I'm really thinking of those folks that are trying to pick up all the scraps after that tornado rolled through. Now, volunteers that are going to continue the cleanup efforts today are going to have to take care of themselves. It is going to be a hot, sticky Monday. We'll start off with a little fog this morning. That should burn off, and sunshine is on the way today. Looks like daytime highs today, probably in the mid to upper 80s, a little cooler along the lakeshore. Tonight, good chance of rain and thunderstorms. Some could be severe overnight into Tuesday morning. Tomorrow, another hot, sunny day on the way. High temperatures into the 90s. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, bringing us weather details in a moment. We're also talking about how some farms are using technology to manage all this water. Tiling, it's a pretty simple concept, and I'm betting a lot of farms today wish they had it. Charity Seebecker has the update.
Lely Center Monroe is hosting an open house on June 26th in Blanchardville at Farron Grunenfelder's farm. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., attendees will see Lely milking robots and the Lely Juno feed pusher in action. They will also be treated to a free lunch and gelato provided by Lucky Cow and will be entered to win a Lely Luna Cow brush. So make plans to attend the Lely Center Monroe open house in Blanchardville on June 26th. Full details on Facebook at Lely Center Monroe.
For the last few years, one of the big stories in agriculture across the country has been dry weather. Some places extreme drought in the western Great Plains. Bob Bosel from the northern end of the world's longest barn, but for this conversation, we're in the western end of the world's longest barn because we're in Montana with Taylor Brown. Taylor, of course, a farm broadcaster in Montana, former state legislator, and a rancher with his family as well. Taylor, first of all, tell us about the LO Cattle Company and the Brown Ranch, because it's been in this family for a long time.
Bob, it's just a treat to have you and your brother out to visit us. But yeah, we've been on this ranch for 64 years, came here 64 years ago, in about the center of the eastern half of Montana, north of Miles City in the Missouri Breaks country. And it's a dry land area, even on good years. It's 12 to 14 inches of rainfall, takes about 40 acres to run a cow. But these last 3 years have been partly because of the drought devastating and also the grasshoppers, a terrible amount of grasshoppers. So our cattle numbers are way down, like much of the western U.S. You know, numbers are as low as they've ever been, and partly why these markets have been so good.
But your ranch is, correct me if I'm wrong, 60,000 acres, and you've got about 1,800 head.
Yeah, on our particular ranch, we made the choice to keep our numbers up. So we went through that drought with no hay and no grass. We're running 600 cows on another ranch that we're leasing grass on, and we're leasing two other ranches besides our own even today, because you had to make the decision either you're going to keep your cows together or sell down your herd. And we gambled that, well, we'll buy the expensive hay. We laid in some hay for $290 a ton. And we bought the expensive hay, kept the cows around, leasing grass, and now we're to the point where we've got the cows herd still together. So the 1,800 cows that you saw here when you were here on the ranch, those are the cows that we, about normal numbers for us. But to get to that stage, to get through the last 2 years has just been miserable. We fed a lot of straw the winter before last. Cows will eat straw if they get hungry enough, and we fed a lot of just wheat straw because there just wasn't any feed anywhere.
Now, this is dry land country, as you said. Where'd you have to go to get the wheat straw? Because I don't imagine it was right down the road. Nothing's close in Montana.
Nothing close in Montana because it's a whole time zone. You know, one end of Montana is on one time zone and the other end's the other time zone. But the fortunate thing about that is in that much of space, not everybody's going to have a terrible drought. So even 2 years ago when we had the terrible drought in Montana, the northern part of Montana had parts of it had a decent wheat crop. So my son Travis called his friend, his AGR fraternity brother, and said, can I come bale your straw behind your combine? And he baled 10,000 square bales, big square bales of straw, and hauled them home to Garfield County so him and half a dozen of his neighbors could have enough straw to get through the winter. So, yeah, it's been a difficult time, but that we're in the point now where the cattle market's strong and people are hoping to heal up.
And the grass is green.
Yes, we've had an awful good year this year so far. I mean, here we are about early June in 2024, and probably one of the better years that we've had going. But it doesn't take much here. I mean, we don't get much rain, so if we can get the right showers at the right time, you know, it isn't like we have to have 5 inches of rain. If we can just get an inch or two every 2 or 3 weeks, maybe through the summer, we can make a hay crop.
In Wisconsin and a lot of parts of the country, we're trying to run dairy farms, large dairy farms. It's hard to find help. Do you have enough help on the ranches here?
Well, what you saw here at our branding, you saw we had 25 horses there helping today, and probably about 35 people helping. None of those hardly from our ranch. We've only got 4 people on our ranch. We had neighbors from 30 miles away coming and helping, and that's how we've survived out here. Neighbors helping neighbors, because we don't have. A few guys will try H2A help maybe to get labor, but that really doesn't work on a cow ranch very good. So everybody's shorthanded. There's a lot of older guys that are working longer. There's a lot of young kids starting in earlier than you'd expect. Everybody's struggling with how to find enough help. And if somebody wants to be a cowboy and wants to learn how to run cows in the Old West, I guarantee you we can find them a job.
I was going to say there are a lot of young people here that aren't playing with their devices. They're throwing ropes, riding horses, cutting calves.
Well, you just saw today, we're one guy short today. Yesterday, you watched a fellow was out roping a calf and going headlong, and a cow jumped up in front of his horse and flipped his horse, and now he's got a leg broken in 5 places. We're going to need a guy to help fill in for him for the next few months, because you have to learn the business, and once you do get it learned, you've got an awful lot ahead of you to figure out what to do next. And so we're going to miss Kyle, I'll tell you. But, yeah, we've got a lot of kids that are coming back to the ranch now, more so than I think in recent years, partly because these markets are good. They can kind of see how maybe they can make a living. And we've got young families coming back into the business here now.
And technology in agriculture is moving at lightning speed. But here, the horse is still very important.
I think you saw a good example of that here. We had 25 horses back riders this morning when we were branding, roping, and dragging calves. But then remember, we went to the corral and we're shipping the dry cows. Every one of them's got an ID in their ear tag, so we had to run them through and wand them and get wand them with the electronic ID so we can ship them out of state. And you know, all the tractors have GPS. I mean, everything is as high tech as we can get it. But sometimes in the Missouri breaks, you're still riding horses when you're trying to gather cattle out of rough country.
When you sell cattle and everything is so far apart, this is big sky country in Montana. How far will these cattle go if you're selling feeders to a lot someplace, or if you're selling them to go to the sale barn?
Well, that's the thing about Montana. We're a cow-calf state. I think we're like the number 5 or 6 or 7 biggest cow-calf state, but we don't keep the calves. You know, we don't have the corn, so we don't have the way to fatten them here. So I'm just, you know, almost every one of those steer calves out of Montana will go to Nebraska or Colorado, a few to Minnesota, but a lot of them go to Kansas and even Texas. But I'd say Nebraska and Colorado for the most of them. And they're in high demand. These cattle are tough. They're hardy. They're healthy. I mean, they have to survive up here where we don't have any topsoil, we don't have any rainfall, we don't have any growing season. But those cattle, they leave here sometimes at 500 or 600 pounds as a calf weaned in the fall. Our case, we background them to about 700 pounds and send them in February. But sooner or later, they get big enough, they've all got to go somewhere where there's enough feed to feed them, and that's usually in the Midwest.
And, of course, the government plays a part out here because of grazing leases and things like that. And that's a vital part of your ranch. You have BLM land all over here. How does that work as far as in your land and how this all fits together to make that ranch that big?
An awful lot of the West is like this. And many states have more public land than Montana. I mean, Wyoming has considerably more public land than Montana. But in Montana, we have Forest Service, so a lot of ranches have Forest Service lease that they can graze on part of the year. Our particular ranch is Bureau of Land Management. Forest Service is Department of Ag. BLM is Department of Interior. And the Bureau of Land Management is a lease that it's a more permanent lease. You maintain that lease in your ranch. And then you have state land, state school sections that generate money for the state coffers. But it's a continuing effort to deal with the federal government. More and more regulations and more difficulty. The Bureau of Land Management right now is out of control. The things they're trying to implement now.
Like what?
Well, like, for example, it's always been since 1934, since the Taylor Grazing Act, that you have multiple use, meaning we're grazing on it, but you as the public can come hunt on it. You can come look for arrowheads. You can hunt deer. We share it with the public. It's multiple use. Now they're trying to get it so that you can set that land aside as conservation becomes a use. So the conservation use can take out the cattle or the grazing part for conservation, allow environmental groups to lease the land and simply remove the livestock, which then removes the economy. And there's a conversation now about how many thousands and thousands of acres should become solar panels. Well, you put solar panels on thousands of acres of Bureau of Land Management, that's a single use that's not going to go away. You can't run cattle in with solar panels or go graze or hunt wildlife or look for arrowheads or whatever you want to do on land that's covered with solar panels. It's just crazy what the way our government now is going to a single use of this land instead of the multiple use that's been around since the Taylor Grazing Act.
And, of course, as dry as it is, you do some of that stuff and these cattle aren't grazing this down. Now you got tinder for these fires in the West.
Yeah, we've got a difficult situation with fires, mostly in the timberland. Our trees are overgrown. We've got nobody harvesting trees in the western part of Montana and a lot of the Rocky Mountain region. And so we're growing far more timber in the forest than we could ever cut.
Taylor Brown, farmer and rancher near Sand Springs, Montana. Beautiful country, but like any place else in the United States, if you want to farm or ranch, you will have problems and challenges that most people don't realize. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ+ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellam fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties, the best known maybe Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass.
It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on Monday, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot gives us a big weather update.
And Jeff Van Beaver from X18 Ministries joins us. Don't miss it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Joining us now for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. So I've got a whole list of folks that chimed in, Stu. Mary Ann from east of Baraboo checked in with, let me see, where did I write it down? Oh, shoot. I lost it now. And then we've got 3.2, Linda in Reeseville. Oh, there's east of Baraboo. Mary Ann, 7 inches of rain Friday and Saturday. 3 inches by Fitchburg. 3.8, Loretta in Cambria. Frank by Elroy, 1.8, 4.25 north of Burnett. I mean, these are just a few of the numbers, Stu, plus the severe weather that came through the southern tier. Greene County, Rock County, Walworth County, some other additional in Jefferson County, from what I understand.
Yeah, I see the Jefferson County was an EF2, a couple of EF1s down around Lake Geneva. That was all Saturday night. I've got a few rainfall reports. My rain gauge said right on 5 when I dumped it yesterday. John, your Armstrong, 4.25. So there was plenty of rainfall. And now if we could just dry it out.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound like it's in the cards either.
No, I wish I had better news there. Yeah, there's a chance at least today we stay dry. That's all wonderful. We'll have some sunshine, a south breeze. It's going to warm up. That sounds fantastic. But there's another system already taking aim on us. We can be assured that the low that's out north of the U.S.-Canadian border with a warm front in the western Dakotas is going to approach. Rain is in central and northern North Dakota this morning. That's all there is to talk about. Oh, a little scattered shower activity far southern Iowa, northern Missouri, not covering a lot of ground. But we have a quiet day today. That warm front moves in. The cool front approaches, I expect, for all of us. Tonight's the possibility of showers and even some thunderstorms. Pretty easily some quarter to half inch amounts of rain. And I'd say in western and southern Wisconsin, that could push to 3/4 of an inch or a bit more. But it all starts to wrap up and dry out. In fact, by Tuesday, a slight chance late Tuesday or Tuesday night in the far west and south. And otherwise, we do stay a little drier on toward Wednesday, even into Thursday. But I expect as we head into Friday, late Thursday night, Friday, another round of rainfall is going to edge back into Wisconsin. We're just not going to get it really dried out. But I guess getting some of the standing water taken care of over the next few days would be a good help. The rain possibility for tonight is definitely not on the good side of things as far as moisture that's way in excess and just not going away all that quickly. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compure Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compure.com today. Compure Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast. And I, like you said, if there is hope out there for dry, try to find that in the forecast, too.
Yeah, that comes up a little later. I mean, our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update, mostly sunny for today. Certainly a nice drying day. We need it. Winds in the low to mid 80s, and the winds become south about 5 to 10. At least does dry things up a bit. But the clouds roll in, showers, even some thunderstorms expected tonight. Heaviest rain in west and southern Wisconsin, where upwards of a half to 3/4 of an inch will be seen. Lighter further east and north. Nighttime lows in the upper 60s and low 70s. South winds 5 to 15. back to sunny Tuesday and still very warm, mid and upper 80s with west winds at 5 to 10. Wednesday, sunny skies, only in the lower 70s. The northwest winds 5 to 10. Should mention, Pam, late Tuesday, a little rain in southern and southwest Wisconsin. We'll watch that if it even develops, but it does look to be a small chance.
Not much in the way of severe anymore, correct?
I sure hope not. This one with the warm front tonight just should be rain.
You're not the only one that is hopeful on that. All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
Stu Muck along with us on a Monday, brought to you courtesy of Compure Financial. Compure Financial is your financial partner, whether it's agriculture or rural America. Find more. Compure.com. Keep the rainfall reports coming, folks. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Can't handle the water? Have you thought about tiling? We're talking about it coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new report outlines the types of harassment and intimidation we may face in the 2024 elections, how to identify it, and the legal remedies to address it. It's a report you should share with your local election officials. The Brennan Center for Justice compiled a bewildering list of tactics being used by anti-democracy activists bent on intimidating election workers and suppressing voters. It includes blockading, following, menacing, or shouting at voters or volunteers, intimidation by poll watchers or rogue poll workers, intimidation by door-to-door canvassers or via online messages or telephone, intimidation by law enforcement officers or by bringing guns to polling places, and by harassing election workers online or in person. The report helps election officials identify these tactics by giving recent examples of each, such as the armed vigilantes in Arizona staking out ballot drop boxes, poll watchers who interfered with election operations using mass challenges to suppress black and brown voters, and door-to-door canvassers intimidating New York vote-by-mail voters last summer. Some intimidation is harder to identify, such as when the wearing of a firearm in the polling place becomes intimidation, or how the placement of police officers in or around a polling place can cross a line. We've linked to this important report for you to share with your local election officials from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise?
Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. That big packet of documents you get when you purchase a new car? A lot of dealerships have had to generate those documents by hand after a ransomware attack on a major software provider.
In a statement, CDK saying it promptly launched an investigation, adding, "We have begun the restoration process. It will take several days to complete."
It's unclear at this point what, if any, consumer information has been compromised. Bloomberg is reporting the hackers are demanding tens of millions of dollars in ransom to restore operations, and that CDK intends to pay it, though discussions are subject to change.
ABC's Allison Kosick. South of Seoul, South Korea, fire in a lithium battery factory. Officials say they recovered the bodies of 8 people. 23 others are unaccounted for. Today is 2 years since the Supreme Court did away with a woman's right to choose. There will be dozens of events nationwide to mark the ruling. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pere Marquette Park is out as the protest area for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next month. Instead, there are two demonstration areas, one near Pfizer Forum and another near the Baird Center. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle.
I'd like to reassure everyone that the Secret Service and our public safety partners respect every American's First Amendment right to express themselves. The Milwaukee PD and other law enforcement partners are well equipped to manage protests and ensure gatherings remain safe for all individuals involved.
Republicans didn't want the protest zone so close to Pfizer Forum. The Department of Natural Resources is offering $100,000 in grants to rural Wisconsin counties that help recycle unwanted electronics. The funds would go towards building permanent electronics collection sites or hosting collection events. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Brewers host the Texas Rangers tonight. The crew back from their West Coast trip. 7 games in 7 days. Losing 4, but winning 3, including a 6-2 victory yesterday over the Padres. Center fielder Blake Perkins on beating the Padres pitcher, Michael King.
We remember last time we faced him, he shut us down pretty well. So I think he was having some trouble locating his front door sinker a bit, so they gave us some opportunities on the outer half of the plate.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
We might not be very good, but we've got a great team. You know, like team chemistry, those guys, they really pull for each other.
Football last week, David Bakhtiari had this to say about Packers quarterback Jordan Love and his girlfriend, volleyball player Ronica Stone.
He is quiet yet confident and soft-spoken yet caring. I got a chance to get, you know, somewhat close to him. His girlfriend, who I hope that he can speed it up and, you know, make it his fiance pretty soon.
Over the weekend, Love and Stone got engaged while on a trip to Italy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more and more UW-Madison students are interested in learning about public policy and sinkholes. Why? We'll find out. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll have highs in the low 80s. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tonight. Some of those storms could be severe. We'll see a low around 70 degrees. Winds out of the southwest up to 25. Mostly sunny and 84 on your Tuesday.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Fella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning to all my hardworking dairy farm families that are out there. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here at the Midwest Farm Report Network. Glad you're along with us on a Monday. We're focused in on not just our hardworking dairy farm families this morning, but also the infrastructure that helps America's dairyland churn. Up before the end of the show, Cheryl Zablocki-Wagner is going to join me. She is a field inspector for Farm First Dairy Cooperative. Basically, what she does is go to individual farms and make sure that everything is ship-shape, nice and clean. Remember, a dairy farm is essentially a food factory. Cheryl's going to tell us a little bit more about that job as we roll our way through the morning. Today, it looks like it's going to be a hot, sticky day, no matter where you are, including the cleanup efforts around Greene and Rock County after the tornadoes over the weekend. Daytime highs today in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, more showers and thunderstorms possible. And tomorrow, another hot, sticky day with temperatures probably into the 90s. So please make sure to take care of yourself, take care of your friends, your neighbors, your employees, and of course, all of our animals. You know, it's funny. On this day back in 1946, Wisconsin recorded the most precipitation in a day. Mellon, Wisconsin recorded almost 12 inches of rain in a single day. Now, that record might have been broken. I don't know when they updated these records, but it does tell you about the crazy weather patterns that Wisconsin's lived through, not just today, but in the past. Also on this day back in 1901, Pablo Picasso opened his first exhibition. He was only 18 years old at the time, a Spanish artist that very few people knew about. He opened his gallery up in Paris, and people weren't really all that impressed. But he ended up being one of the most influential artists of all time. So don't give up. Pablo Picasso opens his first art exhibit on this day, 1901. And I'm going to give a shout out to my television partners here in Madison at WISC, our CBS affiliate. They are celebrating their broadcast anniversary, went on the air on this day back in 1956. And now you know. I know this weather is frustrating, very, very frustrating for everybody, whether you're involved in agriculture or not. Some farms have some technology in place to help manage some of this water. Pretty simple concept, tiles. Charity Seebecker tells us more about that.
Underneath 50 million plus acres across the nation are miles of tile quietly keeping fields in prime condition for growing crops. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Troy Alsma, sales representative for Kartichner Brothers, LLC, says by effectively managing soil moisture and promoting healthier root systems, drain tile systems are not just tools of modern farming. They are essential contributors to ensuring that our fields remain fertile and productive for future generations.
Some of the benefits are we see drain tile, it helps control the moisture that's in the dirt profile of the soil. We're not trying to dry out the soil 100%. All we're doing is we're taking the excess moisture that the soil can't handle. And really, it preps the ground for when there is a heavy rainfall. so that that soil is able to soak up some of that excess moisture, and it gets able to, you know, go into the ground rather than running over the surface. That's creating a lot of washouts and all this eroded topsoil that essentially ends up in our rivers, the creeks, and the drainage ditches. So really having that tile in there, it helps keep your topsoil right where it's needed, right in the farm field.
So when it comes to actually installing these drainage tiles then for the farmers, can you share maybe any specific strategies or techniques or anything to make sure that they have the optimal layout and placement to make sure that it is being the most effective it can be?
Yeah, I would say the best strategy is to contact a professional installer. They're going to be able to look at your soil type. There's a lot of different types of pipe, you know, different holes in the pipe that is used for different soil types. And we'll be able to use that information that we know about to determine what type of spacing you're going to need and what type of tile, basically, you're going to be installing in that field. You know, also setting the field up for future drainage, you know, that's a big thing. If you're going to hopefully, you know, pattern tile this field or, you know, add to it in the future. You know, some guys have a neighbor come in with a tractor plow and it's cheap. They put a couple lines in here, there. But a long-term goal, that's not always going to be your most efficient way to do it, and you're not going to see that yield increase like you would on an actual pattern tiling job. And, you know, setting that field up to, in the future, be able to get it the way you want it, that's a big factor that you need to think about. What we like to do is we like to look at the field's history, and we'll go over the past few decades and determine, you know, where the problem areas are, and especially talking to the farmer and having them explain it, because they're the ones that have been working it, you know, normally for those decades themselves. But then we will look at the topography of the entire farm and determine the best layout for the tile lines to receive the optimum drainage.
When it comes to the investment, then obviously that's a long-term investment, but it's going to save you in the long run as well. So can you maybe talk about the cost savings or return on investment that farmers can expect by having these?
You know, tiling, it's an investment that it's not going to lose money. You know, it's going to be there. Once it's actually installed, there's not a lot of maintenance and, you know, money that you have to stick back into it. Most of these farmers, they're trying to get the most out of the land that they already have. You know, most tiling investments will be paid back in under 5 years. It depends on the conditions. There's a lot that goes into those factors as well. But, you know, yields as well, too. There's an average of about, you know, a 20% yield increase. And, well, if you're in an area that gets completely flooded every year, you know, that's going to be 100% yield increase in that area.
That was Troy Alsma, sales representative for Kartichner Brothers LLC, along with us. He added that the golden rule for using these is to drain just enough water for crop growth, but not a drop more. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
The next stop on our specialty crop series takes us to White Pine Berry Farm in River Falls. Andrew Zwald is in the peak of strawberry season, welcoming hundreds of people every day to pick berries. He says if you're looking to start an agribusiness or add value to your existing farm, join the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association.
We live in a day and age that you can get a lot of information online. But I find that there's real value when you can learn from other farmers around your state that are used to your geography and the challenges that come with your geography. I have been blessed through the organizations we're a part of, like WADA, to meet some other farmers who really do a great job of helping us learn, change things, have ideas. It's great having those resources out there, so I highly recommend joining WADA.
Hear Andrew Zwald's farm story and learn more about the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association at gowiagtourism.com.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong. If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin milk production went up just a little bit in the month of May. Welcome back. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. In Wisconsin, we produced 2.81 billion pounds of milk within our border. That's up about 1% compared to May a year ago. We did have a few more cows, too, unchanged from April, but up about 2,000 cows compared to a year ago. 1.27 million head of dairy cattle home here in Wisconsin. What's interesting is taking a look at what happened outside of Wisconsin. The 24 major dairy producing states as a group saw milk production go down almost a full percentage point. Cow numbers were also down about 50,000 head compared to a year ago. States that caught my attention: Florida milk production went up 10.5%. South Dakota milk production went up 10.2%. On the other end of the spectrum, New Mexico continues to lose dairies, down 14.7% in May milk, and Georgia dropped 8.3%. So just a little something for you to consider on a Monday. Markets on Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped a penny to $1.92. 40-pound block cheese, that was down 0.75 cents on Friday to $1.84.5. The AA butter, that actually gained a penny, closed at $3.09 a pound. This morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 6 at $19.81 a hundredweight. August milk is down 7, $20.50 a hundredweight. The rest of the commodities right now, December corn's down a penny, $4.52. November soybeans are up 3, $11.22. The July new crop wheat, that's down 2 at $5.59 3/4. If you're a farmer, you do a lot of different tasks in a day. Coming up mid-July at the Hancock Ag Research Station, the Farm and Industry Short Course, Madison, is going to be putting together an electrical maintenance and safety troubleshooting class. Heather Gayton, who is the program outreach coordinator, says it's something they've heard a lot of requests for.
Sure. There's a lot of trainings out there for licensed electricians. This is a very unique niche within the educational space. It came from a request in the farm community, and this program is developed for farmers and those working with equipment and infrastructure, specifically on farms. So again, it's for farm owners, field managers, others who work on electrical infrastructure on the farm. And this course is also for electricians, so we're not going to exclude them from the training. They can earn up to 4 continuing education units by attending this code-related training.
Heather Gayton, Program Outreach Coordinator with the Farm and Industry Short Course. Now, if you're interested in those mid-July electrical troubleshooting seminars, go to the Farm and Industry Short Course website and get signed up.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas and Wisconsinology website creator, director, and producer Frank Anderson joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good news. And then tomorrow, same situation. Sunshine, hot and sticky. 90 are expected high. As we wrap it up today, you know, I mentioned at the outset, congratulating all our hardworking dairy farm families that are out there today. It is not an easy life to be involved in Wisconsin dairying these days. But you depend on an awful lot of people to try to make it a little bit easier. Cheryl Zablocki-Wagner is one of those. She is a field inspector for Farm First Dairy Cooperative. Her job is basically to make sure that those dairy farms, which essentially are food factories, are clean and sanitary and ready to conduct business. How does she do it? Why does she do it? I sat down and visited with her at the Farm First Reload location in Keewaskum and asked her to tell me, what is a routine visit from Cheryl Zablocki-Wagner like on the farm?
Usually when I get to a farm just for a routine visit to stop in, I take my flashlight and my thermometer. I usually go in, I check the temperature of their hot water because we want to make sure that they have hot enough water for washing purposes to keep the equipment clean. And then I also take my flashlight and I look in bulk tanks, I look in receiver jars, I look in pipelines to make sure that there is no buildup. If the farmer isn't there, then I leave him a note to let him know if I did find anything. Otherwise, I usually am conversing with a dairy producer.
So you're focused primarily on the surfaces that would come in contact with the milk itself. What about the rest of the barn?
You usually look at the cows to see if they're clean, just maintaining overall cleanliness in the producer's facility.
Right. How long does it take you? I mean, we're not talking to a rookie here. This is not your internship. You've been doing this for a while. How long does it take you for, let's say, an average visit?
Depending on if the producer's there and he feels like talking, it could take anywhere from 15 minutes to maybe an hour and a half.
Okay. All right. Again, and the goal here is to make sure you're working side by side with dairy operators as their partner, part of the Farm First team, to make sure things are done right. You do this as a routine. There are times when your knowledge, your expertise becomes critical. I'm catching Cheryl at a time where her critical eye was important because federal inspectors are involved in the milk handling process. Does it take longer? Do you go and stand next to the federal operators? Tell me a little bit about that scenario.
When we know that federal survey is coming, usually you go out and you, what I do personally is pre-inspections, and I leave them what I call a cheat sheet. So I go through, try to find everything that I think a federal survey officer will look at. I let them know what I found. Hopefully if they correct all the items, we don't have to worry about a failing
grade.
So I leave them their cheat sheet. And then when we do have federal survey, I am with the federal survey officer because it also helps me learn more, too. And then if the producer happens to be there, the federal survey officer is actually very good about doing teaching moments as well.
Excellent. Excellent. That's reassuring because I know that it's not a pleasant experience when you find out you are in the crosshairs for a federal inspection, but it's reassuring to know those inspectors want to be helpful. And for the consumers that are listening out there, they should take heart and have confidence that this process goes on and they probably have never, ever been aware of it.
Correct.
On the farm, we do this to make sure that the milk continues to be produced in a quality way all the way through to the vendors. So then we mentioned this pass-fail,
here's where you've got to improve. That's a big deal, holding a dairy farmer's hand and saying, okay, it's going to be okay. Here you go. This is where you've got to go next. It can be a big shock to a dairy operator if they don't get that pass.
Correct. And unfortunately, quite a few of them do get it, but it's also for them to keep an eye on things, too, because it's things that, as a dairy producer, you don't know all the items that a federal survey officer looks at. So it's a helpful, I guess, situation to be in so that you can learn to know what you need to do.
And she's there to help. Cheryl Zablocki-Wagner sitting and visiting with me at their reload location in Keewaskum. Now, remember, this is just one of the services that you're getting if you're a member of Farm First Dairy Cooperative. You can find out more about all the services they provide by just going to their website, farmfirstdairycooperative.com. farmfirstdairycooperative.com. Take care of yourself today. It's going to be a hot, sticky one. Don't forget our talk text line available for you and your rainfall updates, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
New feed additive brings revenue opportunities to dairy today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Following federal approval of animal health company Elanco's new Bovaer product, it's now undergoing state reviews to allow use yet this summer. Elanco's Katie Cook is VP of Livestock Sustainability and Farm Animal Marketing.
It's one of the most tested and accepted feeding ingredients for reducing enteric methane emissions in lactating dairy cattle. And it does this without negatively impacting the quantity or the quality of milk. If a producer was to feed one tablespoon of a Bovaer per lactating dairy cow per day throughout the year, it can reduce methane by approximately 30% or 1.2 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent emissions annually per cow.
And that, says Cook, permits dairy farmers to earn payments for carbon credits and potential other revenue streams.
We're providing an environmental sustainability practice to our producers, but most importantly, we're providing them with additional profitability. It's going to provide about at least a $20 per head return on an annual basis when we look at how do we monetize a carbon marketplace, take advantage of some government incentives and other pieces.
Cook was featured in a recent episode of the Dairy Defined podcast from the National Milk Producers Federation. There's a link to it on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey!
Everybody join us next time as I'll be making my way back from the dentist. Will the Novocaine have worn off? It could be fun. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Earl Ingram.
This relationship that I'm having with my phone, it's a one-way trip to hell. Al from Milwaukee.
What's her name?
Who?
This person you have this relationship with.
My phone. Man, my wife is listening. What are you talking about, man?
I teach healthy relationships, so you can enroll in my class. It starts at 10 o'clock.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. How quick